Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April 28th. It is 6 o'clock, and you are listening to Mitzi on Healing Hearts His Way, a show I began at the whisper of God's voice in my ear or in my heart. However you hear God, I hear him. Sometimes it just feels like a voice in my ear. And I heard him ask me if I would just step out and do this show to reach out to people who are perhaps shut in or just not involved out in the public in a lot of other ways, so that we can all connect. And a big topic, it seems like, with a lot of people is about heartache and about our hearts and what is God all about in the midst of that? So I'm just going to open this in prayer and turn the show over to the Creator. Father in heaven, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you are so kind and merciful. I thank you, Father, that you have just blessed us to understand, to open our eyes, to show us you, and that you long for a relationship with your people. And God, I just ask now that you will bless me in my desire to please your heart, to be able to speak to the people's hearts and let them hear what you want them to hear, not what I have to say, because God, I know I am nothing without you coming through me. I have my own opinions and ideas, and I can pretty much bet not many people are interested in those. But God, you are so kind to allow us to see you and to understand you. And for right now, for wisdom and understanding, I pray for that, for revelation, so that I can speak clearly and that those that listen will be blessed and comforted. So, Father, I just turn this show over to you, and I thank you in our brother's name, Jesus. Amen. So, the title of my show today, I had a hard time trying to understand what to talk about today because today's been crazy. In fact, the whole last week has been just surreal for me. So many things happening in my life. It seems like you just sit there and you wonder what's going on and is anything ever going to change? And then things change suddenly. And I think God is a God of suddenlies, and he likes doing things that way. So tonight I just titled this show, Anything Your Heart Desires. And this show is for you, the listener. I'm doing 30 minutes because I don't have many callers yet. So we can increase this. We can change the days. Just let me know what your heart's desire. And I am open to, at this point, trying to accommodate. The call-in number is 646-787-8522. And, you know, you can also listen to the show on your phone by dialing that number as well. So does God like drama? I mean, do we really have to have drama in our lives? A lot of people, I do think, thrive on drama. I hate it. I had a life of a lot of drama, and it sucked me just right into the middle of it. And then what I found out is drama just leaves you drained and tired and exhausted. So I made a decision for myself a few years ago to rid myself of drama. And if you're interested, you can ask me how I did that. I may even begin to explain that, but I got rid of as much drama as I could. So then it leads me to the question of, is it more about what's happening, the circumstances, or is it about how we're perceiving it? So is it the external things or the internal things that create drama? So what I would like to begin with is God is good. He always has our best interests at heart, but his time frame is not like ours. God and I have this running inside joke that he it's in the Bible. You could have this joke with him as well, but I play a little game with God, and And when I'm going through tough times, we just joke about things, and I'll ask God, is it time? And he'll say, remember, a day is as a thousand years to me. And so it just becomes funny dialogue in my prayer, and a day is as a thousand years to God. So God is, he's not like us. His thoughts are higher than ours. He's so much more than we could ever imagine. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says to us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay, so that tells us instantly that God, we can't pull him down and put him on our level as far as understanding knowledge of the things that we walk through in this life. God is more than willing to come and meet us where we are. But what I'm trying to emphasize at this moment is that God is, his thoughts and his ways just aren't like ours. So there's so much higher. There's so much bigger. And honestly, this just hit me a few months back, maybe 6 months ago. Even though you can hear these scriptures, people talk about them. You know, I've probably heard this scripture since I was a child, but it did not hit me to a level of understanding that everything that I've been thinking about in my own mind might not be of God, because my thoughts are not his thoughts and his thoughts are not mine. So I just began to go to God and say, God, what am I doing? Am I just spinning all these words around in my own head? And am I thinking my own thoughts, which lead me nowhere? And believe me, I've been nowhere for a long time. So I wanted God to intercede and put his thoughts in my mind to increase me in wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And I began to pray for that. The scriptures tell us, ask for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, just ask me. I give liberally. And I do ask God for wisdom. I ask him for it a lot because I hate making mistakes. And so anyway, in Psalms 145, verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. God upholds all who fall. What an incredible promise. We live in a success-oriented culture. We have somehow gotten the idea that success is an indicator of how much we're pleasing God. After all, why would God allow you to fall if he really loves you? When things aren't going well, we have a tendency to ask, what have I done wrong? What have I done to deserve this? But the Bible is quite clear. God has a special place in his heart for those who fail. We human beings admire success, self-confidence, and rugged individualism. But look at the Beatitudes in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who fall down. God is there to pick them up. There are many, many ways to fall. Finances could take a dive. Your family situation can deteriorate. It could be sickness. You could be stuck at the bottom of your corporate ladder that you're trying to go up, doing everything the right way, hoping you'll be noticed. You could fall into serious sin. Even so, God promises that he will uphold us. He raises up all who are bowed down. So why does God allow his people to suffer? God doesn't promise that we're going to understand that. Sometimes you can look back on a time you've fallen, and you can see how you were strengthened and made more into the person God wanted you to be. Perhaps you can look back and see how you learned to trust God rather than your own righteousness or your own success. Sometimes relationships become strengthened. Sometimes we can't make any sense of at all of our hardships, especially when we're in the middle of them. But we just have to stand on the promise that the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. So, and what was on my heart when I created this show is that Jesus said he is near to those who have a broken heart, and that's Psalms 34:18. So, Jesus loves the brokenhearted. You know, I think about that a lot. It's like, I wonder, you know, it's like Jesus might have said, God, you know, just send me to heal the brokenhearted. And I feel like he commissioned me in that area to care about those who have a broken heart. It's just a big burden on my own heart, because it's like everywhere I look, I don't care if you go to the grocery store, if you go to the gas station, well, I don't go a whole lot of places. So if you just go to those two places and you look around, when you look at people's eyes, people are sad. People are hurting. People are lonely. There is so much that goes on with people. We have no idea, and I know that people tend to. I know that people tend to think that there's nobody out there that has it tougher than me. There's nobody that suffers or is suffering through what I am. But each of us has our own burden that we have to go through, and each of us have suffered a broken heart. One way or the other. So, let's see, in Psalms 20, verse 4, God says, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. God wants to give us our heart's desire, and he wants to fulfill our purpose in this life. And we were created for his delight. You know what? It's just that simple. God didn't create us to, you know, for huge, big things God never does anything like there's just this one reason. But I'm just breaking it down to the very simplest version, and that is God created us for his delight. We were created for relationship with him. He longs to be with us. He longs to speak with us. He longs to have his words accepted by us from him. And the Bible is a whole book that has been written that explains how God feels towards us. It explains how he wanted to walk in relationship with his people from the very beginning of creation. So in Romans, it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved. So even while we were in the depth of our sin, God himself still loved us. And in his rich mercy, and because of his love, he stayed beside us, and then he opens up our eyes so that we can see. In Romans 5:8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. That's in Zephaniah 3:17, and I think that's just a beautiful verse. How God is always in our midst. He longs to be close to us. He longs to dwell with man. In fact, it says we're hidden in Christ and he's in us. I mean, how much closer could it get than that? But, you know, people tend to think of God as not having feelings, but God has feelings. And Peter, he tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Yes, we live in a world that is laden with anxieties. You can be concerned, you can be worried, you can be fearful. I have walked in this life feeling all those things. I'm not going to say that they're gone, but I have found that there's a way that's better than that. And it took me forever to understand, but that is resting in the Lord. When you rest in Him, and there is only one time that God tells us to labor, He tells us to labor to enter into His rest. When we enter into His rest, we have this peace, this gentleness, this quietness in our soul that people just look at you and they wonder, how in the world can you be that in the midst of all the turmoil? And the only answer is, and when you have that in yourself, you know that it comes from resting in God. And when people tried to explain this to me, I could not understand it. It took a long time for me to be able to understand what it meant to rest in God. And I can just explain the way it feels for me. When I began to rest in God, it was when I began to trust Him at a level that said, God, I'm going to trust you. And I didn't just say the word, but I actually trusted Him. I just closed my eyes. It's like closing your eyes, standing on a cliff, and falling forward after He says, jump and I'll catch you. And when I jumped, He caught me. And it gave me so much peace inside of me that resting in God is something that I'm just going to continue to explore. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God is not quick to be angry with us. I think He grows weary. I believe He has said in the Bible things that show that He has grown weary with man. There were, you know, He created the flood with Noah. I believe there was some emotion there on God's part. But He tells us that He's slow to anger and that He abounds in steadfast, faithful love to us. So I know God doesn't need an advocate. I just love God so much. I could talk about God forever. He has just put Himself on my heart in the biggest way, because I was just the biggest sinner and I was so lost in this world. And God was just so kind to just scoop me up in His hand and bless me to have a relationship with Him. He didn't just say, here, Mitzi, here's your Savior, Jesus. He didn't say, here, you're forgiven of your sins. No, go and sin no more. He actually took the time to say, hey, Mitzi, how about you talk to me and listen, I'll talk back to you. And I'm going to do it in lots of ways. Hearing God's voice, maybe that's something we need to talk about on the next show. Because I asked probably 100 people, how do you hear God? And I found out it wasn't just me that has a hard time understanding if you hear from God, because God talks in lots and lots and lots of ways. He doesn't just do it one way. He doesn't do it the same way every single time. But He definitely talks to us. So I have a caller. I'm so excited to get to talk to 502-554. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
I've enjoyed your show so far. Thank you so much for it.
Oh, well, thank you for calling. So what do you think about drama and God?
Oh, I was listening to you for a bit, and I was thinking about the drama that you were talking about, and then it touched my heart when you talked about resting in God. And I have been through, I have a son that is troubled. He has had drug issues and all the things that can stem from that, and he has lived homeless for over a year. And I lived that drama and tried to control it myself. And what I mean by that is I tried to figure out not only what I could do to get him out of the trouble that I couldn't get him out of, but I also felt when he was cold, I felt when he was hungry, and I let it affect my heart and my life a lot. And I had prayed a lot to God, and I realized that I was not in control of my grown son's life. You know, he's 36 years old. I could not control the choices that he made or continued to make. I couldn't live inside his realm because I did not create that for myself. Even though I love my son, I could not live in that anymore. And I learned to turn that over to God totally, where I could sleep at night, where I could eat dinner and not cry, or when it would be cold outside, I didn't stay up all night and not sleep myself because I felt guilty. I turned it over to God and actually let it go. The relief was amazing. The comfort that I got from God, it's not to say that I didn't worry anymore or I didn't have that love for my son anymore, but he gave me peace inside myself that I had to let it go. I had to give it to him. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And because we are friends, and thank you so much for calling. And we do share this in common of having children that have gone through this, grown adult children. And both of us have gone through, and I admire you for speaking up about it, have gone through the depth of, and how many parents these days, as you and I talk about, at times have gone through the depth of drugs, the damage to our children, not only the drugs on their bodies and their minds, but all the repercussions with grandchildren.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's so painful and it's so deep. And when you were talking about how being able to sleep at night or eat, you know, it reminded me, I mean, I just had a flashback for myself of going through that and feeling like I was literally going to die. I just thought,
yes,
I was going to die because the pain is so painful.
Not only did I have thoughts that I was going to die, there were times that I wished death even on myself. It would have been easier for me to not to die and not think about it. And I don't mean like taking my own life, but just having that peace. Like it was so heart-wrenching and so hard to watch somebody go. It's hard to watch anybody go through that, whether it be a neighbor or a good friend or hear about it on the news. But when it's your own flesh and blood, it tears at your deepest depths of soul. And the only relief that I could have gotten was, you know, I've had you as a good friend. I've had good friends and the comfort with that. But the only comfort that I really could get, the relief, was from God, that he was it.
Yeah, and that happened for me too. But, you know, because I'm not very good at sometimes dissecting the process, especially in myself, what do you think it was that finally, was there a moment that it finally clicked for you when you said, you know, when you know you gave it to God and you got peace? Do you think it's just a process?
It is a process. It's not easy to let go. When we're parents, we cuddled our children, we fed them, we bathed them, we covered them up at night. So it's hard as a parent to kind of let go, even as they grow up and leave the nest. It's kind of hard that you want to, you know, where are they? What are they doing? Are they driving safe? So I think part of it is that you still want to comfort your children, and it's hard as a parent to let go. But For me, it wasn't just overnight that it happened. It was, you know, he would stumble, and then it would be heart-wrenching and stumble and heart-wrenching. And as I would keep praying to God, I found that I wasn't truly letting it go to him. I still let my mind wander about what's he doing now, or I was obsessed with the news through the winter, the weather. you know, I would look and pull it up on my phone. How cold is it? You know, how cold is it where he's at? How much snow has he gotten? And just cry. I had to give it to God. So it was a process of letting go and crying to him. And he finally, I feel like he spoke to me and said, you've got to let me handle it. Let me carry you for a while. He's going to be okay. He has got to do this. He's got to take this journey, and you've got to let him do it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, because our children never stop being our children, like you were talking about, especially for mothers. I can't speak for fathers, but you carried them in your womb, and then you give birth to them. And it's like you spend all those years protecting them, providing for them, trying to give them the happiest childhood moments. And then when this happens, it's very shocking to walk through. It is a tough, hard thing to walk through. But I admire you for talking about it. And I know we're both still in the midst of it. So and so many parents are. And I don't know. What do you have to add to that? I could go in like 10 directions with that.
I know that there's, you know, I run into people that have issues with their children too. So like you said, there, you know, you bump into people at a grocery store or at a gas station, like you said, or a group meeting, or, you know, wherever you stumble to, you can see in people's eyes that they're hurting. We don't know if it's their children, or, you know, or their neighbor, or they had a parent pass, or they have illness. I mean, we don't know, but I can see that sadness. And I think God gives us that insight when we live through so much pain and kind of rise above that a little bit. I think he gives us that compassion to see in others that they're hurting. And, you know, a simple hello, or if you see them drop something, pick it up for them. Or I saw somebody at the grocery. She was a young mom and had two children, and they weren't dressed very nice. So you can tell they struggled. And she had to tell the lady at the counter, she was at a self-checkout, that, you know, that she couldn't pay for these things. I was kind of glancing at it. Was it junk food, or, you know, what was she kind of getting? And notice, I've been in that situation before where things were really tough. And I noticed that it was like hamburger meat and things to make meals. So I reached over. It was $15, and I paid for that. And the look of relief, and she cried and felt, she seemed embarrassed, or I'm not sure what all the emotions were. But if we just, because we know that we suffered and we've had things happen to us in our life, you know, like you said, we are friends. If we just take a moment to give that person a smile, or to give them a hug, or just to open a car door, or, you know, help them with their buggy if they need it. Those things mean a lot to them. It just does.
Well, it sure does. You gave me another flashback to when I was younger, and that feeling of all the groceries go over the belt, and then they, you know, you watching the total, and having to look around trying to figure out what you're going to put back to make it work.
Right.
So,
right.
So definitely God uses our suffering to create compassion in us for each other. And gosh, thank you so much for calling. You're such a faithful, loving friend, and I love you so much, Lois.
I love you too, and thank you for your show.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. So thanks for everyone that listened. That was one of my closest friends. We've known each other since our sons were born, and both of our sons struggle with drugs and mental illness, and we have seen the dark side. And I will tell you, though, God is faithful, and when you come to him and just give your life to him, when you sacrifice your life to him, he will raise up all in your family and just love on each one, and you will see changes in their life. It doesn't happen overnight, just like it you know, you didn't get in this position overnight. But when we give ourselves to God, he definitely is faithful. I will tell you, he is very faithful to reach out and reach back to you and love on the ones you love on. So thank you for listening. This is Mitzi, Blog Talk.